From director Paul Thomas Anderson comes the critically acclaimed Phantom Thread.
You can sew almost anything into the canvas of a coat.
Nominated for 4 BAFTAs and now 6 Academy Awards.
When I was a boy, I started to hide things in the linings of the garments.
Including Best Picture, Best Director.
Coins, words, little messages, things that only I knew were there.
And Best Actor, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Secrets.
Phantom Thread. In cinemas now.
I'm Ian Dell from Chemion Technology. We export all over the world. We got a big inquiry in from Italy for our insect repellent, knowing absolutely nothing, speaking hardly a word of the language. The Department for International Trade have helped us out directly with finance and support with market knowledge and market studies. Jumping on a plane to see that Italian customer was probably the best business decision we ever made. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is Great.
For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Rawr Barlow. Our kind of mess saying, just saying. Megan, you can't have a burger without the burg.
And also our super premium sponsors.
Our lucky little grant hopper, Kelly Grant.
And Lizzie Drucker. She's a fine mother.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bras. I'm Ronnie Caron from the Rose Bricks Bachelor Roast, and here I am with my gorgeous, talented, amazing little friend, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banta Blender. Hello, Bean.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good, baby. How's life over there?
Life is so great. I had a full breakfast this morning, including an English muffin. So I'm feeling energized and ready to dive into some Real Housewives of Atlanta recap. But of course, not before shilling our upcoming live shows in Houston and Detroit and Irvine, California. If you go to watchforcrappens.com and buy your tickets to those shows and many more, you will be handsomely rewarded with an experience that you will be able to tell your grandchildren about someday.
They'll get it as much as your current spouse or boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's okay, you know? Your grandkids don't have to understand why everything was great in your younger life, but, you know, they're going to enjoy your joy as you tell the story, okay?
And just know that if you don't go and then you find out on social media that Julia Roberts showed up at all 3 shows, you're going to be like, ah, that would have been a great story to tell my grandchildren. And now I can't because I wasn't there to tell about that time that Julia Roberts showed up at all 3 Crappens shows. Like, who would have thought? She's a huge Crappens fan. She is.
Just came out of left field, that one, Julia Roberts. She's Julia, like, guess what? It's me. I didn't even ask for any special treatment. Okay.
No, she's so humble. She's like, you would never think she's a global superstar. She just comes in to our shows backstage. We forgot to mention she hangs out with us backstage. She's just like too shy to come out on stage, but I think we're gonna get her on stage. She just hangs out. She's like, guys, I've been listening to this like new music and it's really good. I want you guys to get into it. We're like, cool, but we promised her we wouldn't tell you guys what the music is so it doesn't become too popular. But like, that's the kind of experience you have at the Crappens show.
Oh, Julia. So if you want to see Julia Roberts, get your tickets. Oh, for those of you asking, the show in New York City next week at the Bowery Ballroom, it's going to be insane. It's going to be one of our biggest shows ever. It's going to be a party.
It's going to be our biggest show ever, actually.
It is?
So far.
So exciting.
Yeah, our biggest one so far, yeah.
We have special friends coming. Also, we are going to be recapping Vanderpump Rules, which the first time we ever did that at a live show was our last live show, really. Boston. Well, two live shows ago, but our last stop.
Yeah.
And last it was visit, so much fun, and I'm so excited we get to do that one live again, just to make Katie's face, because I feel like you can't truly understand Katie's essence until you see her face, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and the essence of the imitation. Like, you can't really live it just doing it on this show, you know. You have to be there doing it live.
And my parents are going to be there, so it's going to be even more special for them to hear us make all sorts of jokes like "suck a dick, Diana," etc. that New York show is going to be great. Vanderpump Rules. And then the Houston show, we're going to be doing the Dinner Party from Hell from Beverly Hills with Alison Dubois. We do not yet know anything beyond that. Like, we don't know what we're going to talk about at the Detroit show or anything past that. But for right now, it's Vanderpump Rules in New York, House Dinner Party from Hell with Alison Dubois in Houston.
And here, right here in L.A., or wherever you're listening to this, I don't know, Alaska,
maybe,
you know, skiing somewhere. I love when Antigua. You guys send us pictures and you're like, look, here I am on a balcony in Switzerland, you know, overlooking my infinity pool, which is overlooking the Alps.
Hey, if any of you listening are Olympians, in the Olympics right now, A, good luck. B, congratulations if you've already won something. And C, let us know, because we want to be like, oh my God, an Olympian listens to us. So, you know.
We'll introduce you to Julia Roberts. Come on, let's make these connections happen. Well, no, guys.
There was the, you know, like, we were talking about this on our bonus episode, available on patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens. We were talking briefly about the first openly gay male figure skater who won bronze last night. And he is very gay, and he is from Los Angeles. And in his exit interview, he said that he referred to himself as a broken bird. So I think there's a good chance he listens to Watch What Crappens.
Or watches the show that the broken bird is on. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you say?
Yes, darling, darling. So anyway,
well, today we're doing Real Housewives of Atlanta, which was off last week due to some whatever reason. I think the Super Bowl. I mean, there's so many big things happening across this great land of ours, guys. And it's messing with our Bravo. But, you know,
it, really is.
It was fun to have a week off because Atlanta always acts like they've been gone for, you know, 5 months. It's like their new season. They come back like previously and coming up, and then they show you a whole movie. Like, you guys, we remember what happened, okay? Can you call people a bunch of hoes from behind a bathroom door and then, like, left mad because she was hangry? Okay, we remember. Now, we were there.
Now, that being said, where we last left off was at Candy's Essence party, cover magazine party, where everyone was confronting Will about, like, did Will have a girlfriend in the past 4 months that he wasn't honest about because Eva met a girl at a cigar bar, etc. And everyone was confronting Will, and he was getting feisty, and then everything seemed to calm down, and Portia was like, but wait a second, as long as we're talking about Will, I have something to say. And now, finally, 2 weeks later, we get to have the resolution of that, and honestly, it was like a big nothing. I was like, I can't believe you made us wait 2 weeks for that. I mean, I can believe it, but I don't want to believe it.
Well, my favorite thing in all the previously is because I'm like, we just saw this, you guys. Like, we don't need a 5 minute previously, you know, which it was. But a lot of it was about Cynthia because of this Will thing. And I just love that they added in there, I have a whole bucket list plan, child. Because it's like this whole, she just keeps saying bucket list. Yeah. So, yeah, here we go. Back with Portia. Everyone's trying to figure out why Cynthia's upset or what's going on. Sheree's like,
You got baseballs out here?
And Portia doesn't want to get in trouble again. So she's like,
well, since you asked, I heard he's going to take the opportunity as an opportunist to be with you. And he's dating someone else, which is another opportunity, because he's an opportunist with opportunities. Opportunistizing.
I'm like, what? Okay, Portia, okay.
Excuse me, everyone. that was the equivalent of jumping out of the gate on my luge sled and crashing into a wall immediately and tumbling down the rest of the way.
That was not on your bucket list. Just happened.
My Porsche is problematic today. I'll just back away from it quietly.
So Portia has just made Cynthia cry finally. Cynthia's like, wah, wah, cry. And she goes, since we started dating, I've been defending Will. How do you defend that? Like, you don't even know what you're talking about. She never gave you any specific information.
She just said that I heard that he's an opportunist. She probably heard that from Candy, who, you know, like anyone looks at Will can see he's an opportunist. Okay.
Yes.
So like she wasn't like, my friend Joanne has been dating Will, you know, not that she would have a friend named Joanne, but still.
Yes. And remember her whole storyline when she came on was like, everyone's warning me about Peter, not to marry Peter, and nobody can support me and Peter. And they keep warning me, and all I do is defend Peter. Hey, guess what? How about consider that your friends aren't dicks? You're dating dicks, like on purpose. How about go date someone nice?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, which obviously I'm not doing that either. Don't expect me to follow my own advice. I'm just kind of like sick of Cynthia being like, oh my God, I have to defend this man. Well, start dating someone that doesn't need to be defended, you know?
Well, I heard. It's just going to be a raspy Porsche today, everyone.
I heard. He's an opportunist, and he's like choreographing a Broadway musical right now, and Luann Sepp is friends with him.
It's like, no, he's not an opportunist. That's Tommy Tune. That's a different, that's a totally different thing, Portia.
He took the opportunity as an opportunist.
I was like, okay. So then Cynthia's crying, and all the girls are gathering around like a bunch of hens, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And Cynthia has nothing to say. She's like, I'm dressed like Stevie Nicks. I don't know why. Does anybody want to ask me that? So they're like trying to figure her out because she's like,
I'm on the edge of 17, child.
Yeah, she's a super deep puzzle. So then out of nowhere, Mama Joyce comes up to Portia and she's like,
Portia, when you get a chance, I want us to have a talk.
I was like, nice timing. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, let the woman ruin somebody's life, okay? She's talking about opportunists right now.
Actually, I was talking about a tuna opera, which is a little different. I was talking about a star-kissed.
So,
Charlie Tuna.
So I'm waiting for Mama Joyce to just pull out a fork and a knife and just eat her. Because Mama Joyce is terrifying, you know? Mm-hmm. So then Sheree, who still doesn't know what's going on, is next to Kim. He's like, I got a silo cup. I got a red cup. Yep. Got a cup. Yeah. I'm like, fucking Kim, your cups. And she's like, well, I bet Portia knows something.
Yeah.
And, it's like, and her Kim, radar's out. Like, she's trying to figure out who knows something. She's like, Portia knows something.
Kim's like, I want it. I don't know why everyone doesn't just mind their business. I mean, my husband's 8 years younger than me and in the NFL, and I followed my heart, and I know, you know what, and I know what it brought me. I'm like, some new lips and a crazy face. That's really all it brought you.
And a million new children to ruin the rest of the world once you're gone. I like that she says that she followed her heart. You followed your heart straight into an NFL's player's marriage, okay? Like, that's where your heart led. I hate when people are like that. They're like, it's just my heart. No, it's a lot of money, okay? And his butt's nice as well. Okay.
And, of course, Kim is the one that defends Will, of all people. You know, great judge of character, Kim Zolciak.
Yes. So, Kim, I have to say this. I hate, like, boob shaming, but really the boobs on this show are so out of control. Everybody's, really, that I'm, like, confounded. And have you ever heard me say that word? Never. I never use words like that. But I was staring. I had to press pause because I was like, I don't think I've ever looked at boobs this much in my entire life. And it's not because I'm disgusted or turned on or whatever. It's like just pure fascination. Like, what are those even made out of? Because in LA, we see plenty of implants. It's not like that's anything new, you know, or boobs in general. It's just this show has something crazy. It's like they're molded out of something. And
Play-Doh.
I'm bringing that up because Kim's boobs, she's wearing this kind of flesh-toned thing anyway, but I was like, oh, those are her boobs. It's not the flesh-toned dress, but they're the same color, and they look like they're made out of that fabric. Like, maybe they were papier-mâchéed out of this fat. I don't know what was happening, but I couldn't stop staring, and I was like, come on, people. Stop confounding me with your boobies. Stop it.
Yeah, the boobs have been, they've been larger. And like more waxy or oily. They look waxy with a sheen of oil on top. And we're getting a lot of like interior side boob, not the side by the outside of your body, but like chest side boob. Like, you know, where we're seeing just a lot of, you know, basically from 12 to 12 to almost 6 p.m. That's what we're seeing inside of the boob. And it's a lot for a gay man to handle.
There's just no movement. Like, I don't understand what's happening. There's no movement in the boob. I just want to know what they're made out of, why they're only like that in Atlanta. I don't know. I just need some boobtication, I guess.
They sort of look like pastries, honestly. They look like pastries with, like, tempered – like it's just – I find it to be – disconcerting.
So speaking of Marlo's standing with Candy, and Marlo's like, you know, this isn't really about Cynthia. It's just like, what I worry about is she's gonna be gullible, like Kenya's gullible. And then Candy went,
she's like, I missed something.
She made a noise like, and Marlo was like, hi. So
between Cynthia learning about opportunism and Mama Joyce and Kim with the silo cup and the red carpet and the sky being blue, my head is spinning. It's spinning. My head is spinning around.
Like, Portia, your head is always spinning. It's like everything's shocking to Portia. She's like,
remember when we came outside and it was colder than it was inside? My head is spinning.
You don't want to have her watch figure skating. Every time she sees a triple lutz, she's like, wow.
So as everybody leaves, Todd's like, whoa, babe, wasn't my speech great? You know, my speech was great. Let's elevate, or whatever. And Candy goes, she makes a squeal, and then she goes, let's continue to elevate.
See? Now, elevate. Ride. We're going to elevate. Don't want no elevation. Don't need no elevation.
Elevate, innovate, procreate.
Opportunistic.
So...
like, so now, that doesn't rhyme, Portia, okay? Stay out of this.
She's like, well, don't mind me. I'm gonna be a new co-host. I have a talk with Mama Joyce. No, you're having a talk with Mama Joyce. You're not going to be on the talk.
Dish Nation!
But so now everyone's going home, and Cynthia's like crying now because the Portia thing was just like too much. At that point, she just sort of snapped. So now she's in the car with Will. She's like sad. She's confronting Will. And he, you know, she's saying, you know, I heard you're being an opportunist. And he goes, what opportunity am I going to get out of being around you? I'm like, being on TV, being famous, being known
you're
for things.
You're currently filmed
being
by three GoPros in a car, okay? And you're mic'd, so.
You can say you dated a supermodel. And then, so then he starts doing this bullshit thing. This is, by the way, classic Peter, classic manipulator, classic thing that turns Cynthia on. He's like, I'm learning how to be with you, and this is what I get. Oh, my God. Is this what I've signed up for? Like, oh, Will, you are the victim here. Shut up.
Yeah, just look what you've done to me. It's like, your glasses are terrible. I hate you. Go away. Leave Cynthia alone. Get off the show, sir. And then Cynthia's like, but I didn't see any of this coming. What did I sign up for? Well, you knew, because I'm sure that contract was 10 damn pages. So
yeah.
And then Cynthia's like, you know what I need? Transparency. It's like, you've got enough transparency, okay? You've got, this guy is practically see-through.
Yeah.
He's wearing glasses that don't have any lenses that make any sense. They're like fake glasses. I mean, come on.
She got exactly what she asked for, someone who's totally transparent, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Listen, my request is this. Will, take a, like, what I would like for you, Will, is to accidentally have like a nude photo, like a selfie, like a mirror photo, get leaked to the internet, and then just go away. Like, leave that with us, and then the rest of you just go away.
Yeah, leave us the best of you and disappear.
Yeah.
So next up is the special kind of clown music they reserve for Portia. Like, she's got her own sound effect on the Casio keyboard.
It's like the tom-toms.
Doom.
Yeah.
Doom, doom, doom. Ah!
They do that, like, shaker thing where it goes...
Yes.
And she's like, do I have pockets? I don't know. Did I leave something in my pockets? I got my purse, right? Uh-oh. Is my purse in my pockets? No, my purse is right here.
Like, she's nervous and kind of fumbling around as she walks into this restaurant.
Oh, it's sunny.
Pulls out her sunglasses after she's been walking already for, like, several feet. Delayed weather reaction.
The dum dum, chica, chica. So she goes to meet Joyce, and Joyce is just terrifying, you know, because she's Joyce. Yeah. But Joyce is her scariest when she's smiling really big at you, because she squints her eyes and her teeth kind of move around. Like, there's something going on. She's kind of cartoonish, like you can't tell. Like, if she looks like she could open her mouth and then completely open her mouth so wide that the top of her mouth is in the back of her head. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, she can just unhinge her jaw. She just looks terrifying. And she's like,
oh, hey, beautiful. Look at you. Look at you.
I'm like, you're going to die. You're going to die here. Run, Portia.
Portia's like, okay, what are today's hot topics? No, you're not. Now no one even said anything about The View, Portia.
So they do this like, you're gorgeous. No, you're gorgeous.
Hey, beautiful, look at you. Hey, lady in red, you look gorgeous. You do. No, you. No, you. Thank you so much for inviting me out. I wanted to talk to you.
It's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Wasn't the lady in red a ghost? What's that song about?
Lady in red.
Keeps dancing with me. Okay, maybe she's not a ghost.
Either way, Joyce and Portia then dance cheek to cheek.
Yeah.
I never saw Lady in Red, so I don't know. I just know that's one of Krista Berg's great contributions to pop culture. Joyce just wants to find out what happened. Like, why did Portia get so crazy on Candy last year? And she's like, did you honestly... I've never done Mama Joyce voice, but she's like, did you honestly feel that what Phaedra said was the truth, Portia?
And then they do the bravo, a boom, the drum sound.
Yeah.
Something huge just happened.
And then the waiter's like, here is the Brussels sprouts. Here you go. And Portia's like, thank God.
The waiter's like, hi, I'm Dwayne. It's like, okay, Dwayne, shut up. It's like,
I like Brussels sprouts. No pork, right? Baby vegan.
So after the drum, Portia is really nervous because she's doing that thing where she takes one really long nail and scratches the middle of her scalp, which is Portia's, I'm terrified, get me out of here.
It's just patented stall technique.
And then she follows it up with her other technique, which is just asking herself questions. Or she's like,
do I think Candy would drop something in a drink and poison me? Do I think it was something I was thinking about? Do I think it was about the fact that my friend, who was also an attorney, told me something that Candy told me herself?
Could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck can chuck wood?
What part of a cow is pork?
You know,
how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll?
Do I have any pockets?
You got baseboards?
Who said that?
So, who killed Laura Palmer?
Portia is sticking to her.
That was the most evil thing. I trusted a lawyer, and I never even got money for that accident I was in. And to think you would send me in there to say something that you know is false.
And Joyce
such a victim.
Joyce is like, well, it's lucky it wasn't me, to be honest. Rolls Royce, Mama Joyce. You like that Joyce and the Royce? Royce, Royce, Joyce, Joyce, Rolls Royce. I was like, what?
I had no idea what was going on. I wrote down, I'm confused.
Yeah.
It's like, if it was me, I'd be in the Rolls Royce, Royce, Joyce, and the Royce, 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 Rolls, Royce.
Yeah, and it's like the kind of nonsense that only someone like Portia could understand. Because she was like,
yeah, Rolls Royce, honey.
Like, what? What are you guys talking about?
And turns out that Joyce is still mad that Phaedra set Candy up with Todd. That apparently is Phaedra's worst offense. Not starting these rumors, it was that she introduced Candy to Todd. You know,
he's a worker.
Yes.
He's a worker.
He's a worker, yes. And Portia's like,
well, I'm not going to go there, but it worked out good, right?
And she goes,
Candy learned to make some lemonade out of a lemon.
Yeah. You know, in the beginning, remember we used to think that Mama Joyce was so nasty about Todd. We're like, ugh, like Todd's really nice. Like, she's just being so unreasonable. But I think the reason why Mama Joyce is so calm these days is because she knows in the long run we've learned, like, oh, yeah, I guess she's kind of right. Todd's not the best, huh? You know?
Yeah. Well, I think there must have been some kind of prenup in place to pacify Mama Joyce to where she's just like, well, let's see who will die first, young man. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And also, I'm okay with her hating Todd because I don't really love Todd that much, A.
Yeah.
And B, it's not just hating her daughter's boyfriend anymore or her husband. Now it's hating her boss. You know, it's the guy at the restaurant who's like always trying to trick them into doing fork roll-ups and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Portia basically puts everything onto Phaedra. She blames everything, like all her behavior is because of Phaedra. Everything she said is because of Phaedra. And you know what? She's just loyal to a fault. You know, what can you do? Just loyal. And she was willing to bear the brunt of the accusations. She did it all for Phaedra because she's just a loyal soldier. Yes. Like, okay, Portia, like, we like you. Just this is too much. Like, relax.
And when Mama Joy said, "You a ride or die chick."
That's what I like about you. You are ride or die.
I was like, you're up to something. Now, I don't know what the fuck you're up to, lady, but this is not normal, and I need to know what you're planning, because you know it's going to be terrible when it happens.
Yeah.
Mama Joyce is going to come through with some social terrorist attack on.
I'll tell you what it's going to be. Somebody. It's probably going to be some sort of like Candy versus Nini thing. Candy and Nini are good now. But Nini is on the rise, and this is Candy's show now. And Mama Joyce is like, "You're gonna need some allies, and we're gonna get Portia back on your side."
Yes,
that's my prediction.
Well, I hope that's what it is, because I love watching them come for Nini, because completely flummoxed.
May I relate something that I read on the internets via one of the Crappens groups? Someone posted something from, I believe, Tamara Tattles. It was a blind item, and I normally don't care about blind items. Not only do I not care, I never even just bother reading them, because like, what's the point? It's a blind item. Like, just give me, I don't want to have to like deduce. Okay, just tell me what it is. But for some reason, I read this one, and it was interesting. And I feel like it sounds like it could be legit. At the same time, it could be something that's very easily fabricated. But basically, the blind item said that basically back in the day when one of the Real Housewives started, that essentially Nini and Kim had the same attorney to negotiate for themselves. I think that's what it was. And now, like, down the line, because of something in their deals, a lot of the source of their anger towards each other is not about cockroaches or whatever. It's about, like, who's making more money or, like, some sort of issue with their joint lawyer or something like that. But long story short, basically what the blind item was saying is that Nini always believed that Nini negotiated a favored nations clause so that she would always get the most money per episode out of anyone else. So if anyone else got like matched her amount of money, like was given like a $100,000 raise, then Nini would also get a $100,000 raise because she would always be on top. But that Kim actually earns more money because she has the spinoff, and that Candy is the one who actually has the most money overall because she has lots of successful businesses as well, in addition to spinoffs, etc. But Nini likes to think that she's one earning the most money, so she negotiated this contract, but then as a result, she's not on every episode. So it's like, yes, she's getting tons of money now, but now she's only per episodes. They've reduced the amount of episodes that she's on, which explains why she's not on all the episodes. And this is why Nini and Kim are fighting, because Kim is angry that she didn't get the favored nations thing. And the reason why Nini is a cast member is that the producers were going to make Nini and Kim battle it out to become a cast member, but then Kenya gets fired or quits, and that's why Nini got elevated to cast member.
Oh, for Christ's sake, that is just so much. So basically, they're just all fighting over money. Well, this is the most popular. This is the highest rated Housewives show by far. I think it's the best. I think it's the highest rated Bravo show, period. So they all deserve their money. Show. But they get their – they all make – I mean, most of them make a ton of money. Kenya's got to be making a ton of money.
Yeah, at least for now. I don't know if Kenya's time on – I think those rumors I believe those rumors are going to be true, that this is her last season for the moment.
Well, if she keeps acting, if she refuses to shoot,
yeah.
You know, you can only make so much happen. They can't just start drawing Kenya into scenes, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I hope she stays long enough to watch her crumble from this marriage, because I know it's hateful and mean to say that, but God, I can't wait. She's really bugging me with this whole, my husband, husband. You know, what I'm really worried about is my husband thinking that, like, husband, just because I'm his wife doesn't mean, like, I'm his husband. He's my husband. It's like, okay. Yeah. It's like you're Portia with opportunist.
Yeah. So now we go to dinner with Nini and Cynthia. They go to a restaurant, and they start recapping the night before at Candy's party, and Nini basically says that, Nini says that she wanted to tell Cynthia about the Will situation, but that Kenya came in and started acting like Captain Save-A-Bitch, which I thought was pretty funny.
And then she does that thing where she makes her eyes really big, and she's like, I didn't mean to bring Ava in to destroy anything. That's not why I brought Ava in. Mm-mm. This has nothing to do with Cynthia hanging out with Kenya and me trying to ruin her life.
Exactly. So then Nini tells Cynthia, just like, make sure that Will isn't using you. And Cynthia's like, well, why do you think he's using me? I'm like, oh my God. Just, you know what? Never mind. Just be together. Let him use you because you're oblivious to it all. And it's just, why are we trying to save Cynthia from this man? She wants to be used at this point. You know?
I think she's just, it's a Kenya boyfriend. It's a rental. He knows he's a rental. He's a temp. And she's going to pull a Nini where she's going to try and get a spinoff getting back together with Peter. Like, it's so obvious that she's just copying that storyline to me that I'm like, whatever. And then Nini, she said, do you like him? She's like, well, I thought he was okay, but then I saw Peter sliding through, and, you know, Peter will. Peter looked good for his age. I'm like, okay, Nini, your husband is wiping up spilled things with pillows in your house, okay?
Yeah.
Stop trying to get everybody to marry an old man just so you have someone on your side, you know?
Yeah. Peter may look fine for his age, but he's awful. He's objectively terrible.
He's horrible.
And he's, like, been really good about playing this victim card, like, oh, woe is me. I'm still in love with her. She's the love of my life, and she left me. She dropped me, and it's just too hard for me to see her with another man. It's just too hard for me to see her. I still get nervous when I see her. Shut the fuck up, Peter. You were caught on Instagram, like, getting close with some lady at your club, and we know it's been a lot worse than that. Don't act like you're the victim here. You're just trying to get her back so you can get her some more funding for your next club under a bypass somewhere.
Yeah, you're just nervous every time you see her because you're worried that today's the day she brings a new contract that says they put a lien on my house, and so I'm no longer a co-signer on your lease. Sign these papers.
Yeah.
That's why you're scared, okay? So then Cynthia's like, well, Nini, we are not getting back together. I was like, uh-huh, okay. I know that Jurassic Museum is waiting for you to renew those vows. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
So then Cynthia's like, well, in the spirit of my bucket list, child, you know, I want to see what's happening abroad. I was thinking of Barcelona girl. And Nini's like, who are you going there with? And she's like, eating with her fingers and then smacking her feet like this. Which, that's not how you get invited to Barcelona. Even if I was there to invite you, I would have been like, no. Either learn to eat with a fork and close your fucking mouth while you talk to me, or you're never going out of town with me, okay? My bucket list did not include watching you smack your dinner, ma'am.
Yeah. And Cynthia's like, well, I've been looking at some Airbnbs. And he's like, oh, I'm not into ABC.com. Whatever. And Cynthia's like, child, I'm not talking about ABC.com. That's a different corporation. I'm talking about Airbnb. And she's like, I've even got some Groupons. And he's like, Groupons? Like, what sort of trip are we doing with Groupons and Airbnbs? And I'm with her. I mean, I shouldn't say I'm with her. Like, I don't know. Like, it depends on the duration of the trip. I'm sort of the mindset that, like, if you're going to travel, I kind of want, like, to be pampered a little bit. I want someone to come in and, like, make my bed every day at the hotel.
Yeah, but I loved when Airbnb started, and it's like, oh my God, look, you can get this apart. This is so great. It's like our own space instead of a whatever. You know, I had the same feeling everybody else did the first time they got an Airbnb. And then I read the part that said you have to clean the whole house or you get charged an extra fee for having a maid. Like, excuse me? Do you know, my friends and I get Airbnbs all the fucking time. That morning where you have to wake up 2 hours early to clean.
Yeah.
Fuck the worst. That. I'm going to a hotel, okay?
Well, I mean, I think that Airbnbs are good for certain things, for a lot of things, actually. I think Airbnbs are good if you're just, like, visiting a friend in another city or something like that, and you can't crash somewhere. Or, like, you're getting some friends together in, like, another city, and it's about, like, a bunch of people all being in the same place together, and you're going to, like, lounge, you're going to cook dinners together. Like, that's a cool thing. I think in a foreign country, it might – like, I can see the value in getting an Airbnb, but I kind of feel like if I were a real housewife and I wanted to whoop it up Vicky Gunvalson style, I think I would want to be in a hotel. I think I would want to be like, I'm doing an international thing, you know. And by the way, this all goes with a huge asterisk, which is, of course, it depends on how much everything costs. Because if the hotels cost a lot, like, hell yeah, I'm going to get an Airbnb, you know. But I'm just saying, like, theoretically, like, if I'm doing Barcelona, I think I want to go in a hotel.
Yeah, I don't trust, like, some rando Airbnb just anywhere. I mean, yeah. Hell, in L.A., my cousin gets them when she visits, and they're always terrible. They suck every time because it's, like, some gross actor who's like, look, I photoshopped my apartment so it looks cute. And then you get there, and it's nasty, and it smells, yeah, you know, funny.
Yeah, I think it's like if you're going to Palm Springs, like, yeah, of course you're going to Airbnb. Or if you come to L.A., like, there is, you know, like, Airbnbs are fun because you can – a bunch of you can get together and, like, Airbnb a house in the hills, which is an experience unto itself. But if I'm going to Barcelona, unless it's, like – if I'm going for, like, the – if I want to have an experience on, like, a cliff or by an ocean or whatever, okay, maybe I'll Airbnb it. But, like, you know – I just think that, like, there is a value in a hotel and having someone pick up your shit sometimes.
Yes.
Why are we talking about this? This is my fault.
I don't know, but I'm with you. So Cynthia is on Groupon. That's the important thing. And she has a bucket list, okay? And so Nini, of course, is in and then just tries to take the whole thing for herself because it's a housewife show. And so Cynthia's like, well, let me guess. We're going to invite Ava.
Eva.
And she's like, well, what do I care about Eva? Because it's as long as she's not with Will, because Will's not coming. And that seems to be the only problem I have with her, which is true. But it's weird to have maturity on a show like this. So but Nini gets to, like, bring her new friend. But then Nini, but of course, is automatically like, this person can't come and that person can't come and this and that and this and that.
Yeah. Well, by the way, also, I don't like that Cynthia's mad at Eva about the Will situation. Eva's just like, by the way, this is what's up. It's always that's what always happens. Will is the scumbag here, and but Cynthia's mad at Eva. It's not right. It's not
right.
Well,
it's like sending Dallas Rains hate mail because it rained. You know, it's like he said it was going to rain. Like, what are you mad at him for? Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, Dallas Rains is a stand-up weather man.
Yeah, it's not his fault. Like, if you're mad at Dallas Rains, there are plenty of reasons, okay? But not just because he told you it was going to rain, and then it did.
Not, so, yeah. I would be angrier that his name is, like, a proper noun and a noun. That's what my issue would be. So here's the thing, though, is that, like, you know, they're like, oh, should we invite Eva? Yeah, what about Marlo? Yeah, what about Kim? I'm like, it's kind of one of the issues with this season is there are, like, a lot of people lingering. Like, there's like this cast is kind of like crumbling under its own weight. You know, there are people who are not their main housewives who are like not appearing in episodes. You have like Shamia and you have Marlo and you've got this person and Eva and this. And it's cool. I love an extended universe and on a show like Southern Charm does that really well. But this season has felt really uneven and rocky. And I feel like none of the women's storylines are really tracking well. I mean, Candy, what she's not even doing anything this season. She just sort of like pops up. You know, Kenya's barely part of it. Nini has sort of a fight with Portia. It's like, what's happening this season?
Yeah, I don't know. But then this show to me is always like this, and then it's amazing. Yeah. And then it's like
still
back to what's going on, and then it's amazing. You know, it goes back and forth. But even these ones crack me up because Nini is in top form when she's just being funny in her diary room to me. That's like where Nini really shines. And she's telling Cynthia, well, why Kim? Because she's going to have to bring her Uber driver, you know, Croy, and there are no dinglings allowed or whatever. And she goes, she's always got excuses. Her husband's butt implants are leaking. And then it's like she was worried that wouldn't make it in. So she says it 10 times during the episode in different ways. She's like, his fake butt. You mean those implants?
Yeah. I do wonder about Croy, not about butt implants, but I wonder what goes through his mind. Like, he is just a huge doormat for her. And at the risk of sounding totally shallow, like, I guess it's admirable that he supports her journey as she becomes the woman that she wants to be. But, like, the woman that he fell in love with, I mean, it's I guess it's nice that looks are not an issue for him. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, they...
he likes her for who she is, which is also
which is a shallow idiot, you know. He has fun with it. I mean, he lets her separate his eyelashes. So, you know, there's something to be said for that couple.
Yeah.
So Nini's like, oh, you know, this is all about positivity. So I'm going to love and light these heifers to death, which needs to be on a shirt at some point. So then let's go to my favorite scene, which is Kenya and her cousin Che Guevara in a doctor's office. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is where Kenya's like, not having my husband in the same city as me, it's the hardest for me because when, like,
I'm doing things like this. I want my husband by the side of his wife, who's me, because he's my husband.
It's like a
Kenya, when you are stealing storylines from Megan King Edmonds, you have a serious problem. Like, you are Kenya Moore, okay? You are an icon of Bravo. You are a varsity player on the Bravo team. You cannot be stealing storylines from Megan King Edmonds. I'm sorry. It is not allowed.
And then, you know, I don't believe anything that she says. I just never believe Kenya. I think she's a total phony. So whenever she's like, oh, look, my husband texted me, and he said, I appreciate all the hard work you do, even if you're overlooked. One day, somebody's going to look at your numbers and realize you're brilliant, and we can land on the moon. I'm like, okay, you're just reading the plot from Hidden Figures now, okay? Like, who do you think you're kidding?
So my husband, we were hanging out, and I fed him a hard-boiled egg, and then another one, and at first he was like, I don't like it, but then he was like, I like it now, and like, let's make out. I'm like, Kenya, you are just talking about The Shape of Water, okay? I just miss that my husband can't come to the fertility doctor because there's no vat of water here for him.
Well, guess who else can't come? The doctor. This is hilarious. This is so Kenya. She's like, I'm in a fertility clinic. Wait, the doctor's calling. Hi, doctor. She's like, I'm busy and I'm not even your doctor, but because you're paying me $5 in Amazon gift certificates, here it is. I don't know if you can get pregnant or not. Nobody cares. Click. It's like, you, come on, Kenya.
Well, at least it wasn't Dr. Curves again, you know? But yeah, Kenya is over 6 weeks late, and she, you know, she's 46, so the odds of her being pregnant are very low, especially because when she was 42, the doctor was already saying, yeah, your reproductive system or ovaries or whatever are diminished. Your potential is diminished. And so, but she's like, I believe in miracles, and like, we have sex twice a day and he still wants more. Okay, I'm not buying this. I'm sorry.
I'm not buying it either. It's total bullshit. So yeah. She's like, well, I passed on Barcelona because I've already been on 2 trips with these ladies and both of them had negative components. And then the editors throw in her behind the bathroom door like, these stupid hoes, these idiots. Yeah. I'm not hanging out with these idiots. Like, just like being a total diva asshole. Hilarious. Thank you, editors. Yeah.
My priority is my family. I'm like, I'm not trying to be callous, but like, it's not really, it's just Mark. It's just Mark, and he's in New York. Okay, just go. It's Barcelona. At the very least, it's Barcelona. Okay.
Well, she keeps saying she's not going to show up someplace, and then she shows up. So everybody's like, oh my God, what a surprise. But it's like, not ever a good surprise, you know. It's like, oh, you're pregnant and you're 16. You know,
by the way,
like mixed news.
Yeah. Also, I would feel a little uncomfortable having an OBGYN named Dr. Thrasher. I don't know why. I just feel like that's not what I. They're just very literal doctor names down in Atlanta. Apparently, Dr. Curves, Dr. Thrasher. Don't know if I do it.
Well, you know, she's always there to sew you up if you need it, you know? Someone like Dr. Yeah. Thrasher is going to be able to take whatever's thrown at her, okay?
Yeah, she certainly will.
I just read at the end of this, did she just visit a doctor on a phone, only Kenya? That basically sums up my feelings there.
And then she's all choked up that the results are inconclusive. I'm like, okay, you're 46. Like, it's – I actually genuinely feel bad for her. Because she wants to have a baby, and she's always wanted to have a baby on this show, and she's 46, and like, it sucks. That's a real tough, shitty thing that women have to go through in terms of if you want to have a kid. Not saying that all women need to have a kid, but like, if you want to have a kid, and like, you put your career first, or you just didn't find what you wanted in a man first, and you didn't, like, I don't want to raise a baby by myself first, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're 46, and like, you know, we see it with MJ and like, that sucks. Like, honestly, that really sucks. That's like, it's a shitty thing in life, you know? So I do feel bad for her. I don't think it's the end of life and she'll learn that there's like, she can have a whole different sort of life. That'll be wonderful. But I actually do feel bad for her. But at the same time, it's like, you know, like what did you honestly expect?
Kenya. She's a monster. Okay. It's like when someone's on death row and then you hear their story because they've like learned to confess everything and feel bad about it and turn to Jesus or whatever, which always happens on those shows where they talk to serial killers. You're still a serial killer. Like, I don't care how sad, I don't care your reasons, how sad they are, because you're a serial killer. And, you know, Kenya's not a serial killer, but she's a Kenya. So I just can't. Yeah. Like, you're the worst, and I don't care why at this point. Like, I don't need your superhero origin story or your supervillain origin story. You're just an asshole, okay? So please stop going to doctor's offices and then pretending that you're married.
Yeah.
So next up is Portia and Chef Gooey. So
yeah.
Portia gets her hair curled for, I think, 90 minutes.
Yeah. She spends a lot of her time getting her hair done on this show.
Every time they cut back, it's like days later in everyone else's life. And then they cut back to Portia and she's still getting her hair curled.
Yeah. It's been like a week that she's been sitting there. So she's just basically talking to Chef Gully about that they're going to have like a vegan dinner. It'll be a no beef dinner because everyone's getting along. So no beef. Get it?
So every time she says beef, she does quotation marks, like air quotes. She's like,
listen to my text. Hey, girls, it's going to be a, quote, no meat, no beef dinner because I wanted to celebrate no beef at dinner.
Quotation mark, quotation mark. I'm like, now you're just making quotation marks and not even saying anything. Just stop quoting. Just stop quoting everything, okay?
So then we go to Cynthia, who is arriving for dinner at a place called the Crab Spot, which just made me laugh. I was like, whoever shows up to meet Cynthia here, whoever it is, it's just gonna be perfect. Like, I don't care which cast member, it just works with the Crab Spot. And yes. Sure enough. To our joy, we got Peter. He shows up at the Crab Spot. Number one crab.
Well, King this crab. Waiter is hilarious because she's like, I'm looking at your menu here, child. So let me think. Chicken? Maybe chicken? And he goes, it's delicious. It's got sweet and sour on top. Delicious. And she goes, ooh, well, I am the sweet and sour Cynthia, queen of sweet and sour, child. And he's like, delicious. I was like, oh, that's that waiter. Yeah. You're like, how's this? Delicious. It's so
delicious.
He hasn't
tried any of it.
Yes. Like our waiter in Boston, he's like, it's great. It's great. Well, I'm vegan, so I don't know. Like, we're asking you about the burgers, okay, liar?
Yeah, he was a liar. But you know what, though? He did not steer us wrong. But yeah, so Cynthia's like, ciao. It's on my bucket list to have some chicken at a crab spot. That's my bucket list.
Do you have a list of buckets? Because I'd like to order one.
Do you have crabs in a bucket? That's my bucket list, to hold a bucket full of crabs. It's a crab spot.
So Cynthia's like, so Peter comes in. He's like, oh, dude. Hey, Fred. It's me, Peter. And she's like, you're a ghost, child. It really bothered me that, you know, I was at that party and Peter was at that party and he basically ignored me, child. And like, I don't like the way it made me feel.
Oh, good. Did you feel empowered? Did you suddenly feel like your life was better? Did you feel more intelligent? Because that's what usually happens when Peter is not in your life.
And it hurts. You know? Yeah. It's like why people start overeating again. I just want to be tired enough to take a nap. I don't want enough energy to be positive and lead a fun life, okay? I want to sleep. So
yeah.
That's kind of how she is. She's like, well, I hated him, wouldn't have sex with him, but I miss that being there every day when I had that option to just say, no, you're gross, you know?
Yeah. So Peter is, again, in full victim mode, and he's saying how, like, you know, she's like, Chop, I want to see you. I wanted to introduce you to Will or something like that. And Peter's like saying how he doesn't want to meet any of Cynthia's men. Of course he doesn't want to because that's so tough, et cetera, et cetera. And again, I'm like, yeah, but the difference is, that she had no choice but to see you with a girl. So the least you can do is, like, come over and meet her man, you know?
I guess. I'm not buying any of this shit with them. So they're like, oh, my feelings are hurt. My feelings are hurt. Let's get married again next season. And I can't with them. But I do love when the food starts coming and he goes, whoa, why'd you order all this food? Are you depressed? It's like she ordered, like, five entrees.
Yeah, and then he's like, sorry, old reaction. I forgot. You, the tab's on you this time.
You're paying for this, right?
Yeah. So, I also was like, I was distracted by the fact that he ordered some sort of like pan roasted salmon and she got sushi rolls. And I was like, what sort of restaurant is this? I don't get the story that this menu is telling.
Crab bucket list. So then it's like the beginning of the episode. We see all the girls doing things at their own homes or whatever. And Sheree's getting, I'm assuming it's her basement done.
Yeah.
And she's like, you want a schedule? And he's like, girl, bye. And I'm like, yeah, give her attitude. She's not going to pay you. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You're never getting paid for this. So enjoy it. Enjoy your Chiron, sir.
Yeah. And Candy's over at Tags, her store. And she's like, see, now this is cute, Ron.
this book is on. I like this dress right now, but I can't say because it's going to be on sale. It's going to be leaving me soon enough. See now. Riley sale tags.
So they show that everybody's getting ready. It's like days later, and Portia's still getting her hair curled, as we talked about.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. Portia is still in hair and makeup.
Like, she's on her own timeline, which I love.
So she's like, she took a time machine.
She's like,
hey, Priv, guess what? This is a no beef hair curl. Get it? Get it?
They're like, please stay still, please, so we can finish your fucking hair and leave. So Kenya's can't come, and Nene won't come, and Candy won't come, and she's like,
I guess they don't like me. I don't know why. I like them. I like everybody.
It's like, okay. I'm loving your attempt at just staying Portia and pretending you just don't remember anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. Keep up with it, yeah. Portia. I'm behind you.
Yeah, so Shamia shows up, and Marlo shows up, and Marlo is like trying to shame the welcome mat for being too small. She's like, this is a small welcome mat. I'm like, Marlo, you could do better. Like, don't shame the welcome mat. It's fine. It's standard. It's a standard welcome mat.
Marlo, she walks up. I'm going to talk about manners. Just kidding on Marlo. But she's wearing some hippie outfit. And she's like, home sweet home. Oh, that could be bigger. Maybe she just didn't feel better, so she couldn't get a proper one. Is this a baby shower? Why is there white stuff hanging? Does this doorbell work? Hello, I'm here.
Look at this. Look at this doorknob. It's really round. For me, I'd get maybe one that looked more like a handle. I don't know, but maybe she's just feeling a little crazy right now. Oh, look, a window you can see through. I'm not sure about that.
This is what people mean when they tell you to love yourself. It's not, don't have some false sense of, you know, bullshit. Just like be able to hang out with yourself and have a fun conversation. Because Marlo is her own date, and she basically has the best time ever. She's just walking around the party alone talking to herself.
Yeah, exactly. And then Sheree shows up, and she's like,
and then Sheree goes, Marlo showed up carrying a dead animal to a vegan party. What kind of Fraggle Neckle bullcrap is this?
Down to Fraggle Neckle Rock.
So they all have shots, and Kim arrives, and whatever. And Kim, I love that Kim doesn't only arrive with Croy. She's like, pour me some water in this cup, would you, honey? Thanks. And then you hear, bye, Mom! Bye, Mom! It's like the whole family's just going to wait outside for Kim.
I know. And then she walks in, and she's like, well, so what's the deal with the white draperies? And Lauren's like, Lauren is Portia's sister. She's like, it's like a boho chic thing. I was like, what? It's just like some random, like, white tulle fabric that's just dangling. Boho chic, I guess. I don't know.
I'm silo chic.
Yeah.
She's got her fucking silo cup. So outside, they're smoking a hookah, and Sheree's like, hookah? Shots? It's like a frat party in here. Frack a leg a ding dong dong dong. Pooka looka doo doo.
Hookah? You got hookah? Who is ka?
So they start immediately talking about Cynthia because Sheree's like, now, somebody know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. Nobody tell me what's going on. Hookah? Like, hookah? No, I'm saying, hookah. What's going on or hookah?
Hookah?
Both. Just tell me both.
Sheree is like playing a silent, like an interior game of Pictionary. Like just one moment she's talking. Hookah. Sheree, what's going on? She's like trying to answer like what's being drawn inside her head. Car's a diesel. Hookah.
So Cynthia's like, you know what it's like when you walk into a room full of people and you know they were just talking about you? Yeah, that happened, child. I'm like, you're lucky, okay? Because nobody has ever talked about you ever on this show. Like, nobody ever has cared, you know? So good for you. So Marlo's like, no tea, no shade, Cynthia. I talked about you. Also, that welcome mat. It was tiny, right?
I could barely put both of my feet on, and I was like, my feet are cramped and not getting any cleaner. Am I right?
So then it turns to everybody saying, well, we just care about you and blah blah blah. And Cynthia tells Marlo, well, let's get you trial. I didn't know Peter was there, and then you said, look at me and Peter, like, we're matching. And I was like, what? I was like, that's what you're mad at? Cynthia, honestly, do you pay attention to anything ever? Like, why would she be mad at that? It's the dumbest thing.
She thought Marlo was being shady by mentioning that, like, Peter was there or something, or that she knew Peter was there and Cynthia didn't know. I'm like, Cynthia, you get annoyed at the wrong people. And it's, like, sort of annoying because you don't even get annoyed in a fun way. It's just like a – you're, like, subtly perturbed, and it's, like, doesn't even make for good TV. It's just like, what? Just this stupid. Is all Cynthia? It's just stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah. So let's see. Basically, they just talk about Cynthia wanting to be with Peter. Like, they all know that that's really her true love. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So then we should also mention –
oh, yeah, I was about to say we should also mention that when they go to sit down at dinner, that, like, all the placemats, all the tableware has, like, price tags on it or something, because Portia's planning to return it to the store tomorrow.
Yeah, she's like, don't love these balls too much because they're going back tomorrow. And Sheree's like, what a cheap ass. I mean, they look $19.99 and they're going back. I'll take them. I'll take them back.
Yeah. So yeah, so then Cynthia starts talking about how she called Peter for lunch to talk, and Portia's saying how, like, Cynthia's still in love with Peter, and I'm like, can we just, like, stop this narrative? I hate this narrative. This idea of Cynthia and Peter.
Oh, well, so does Marlo.
Everlasting.
She's like, burp.
Yeah. Burp. Yeah, she just burps at the table
like five times. It's like these deep, deep, awful burps. And she's like seriously, listen, look, girls, I gotta go visit my cousin in the nursing home. And Portia goes,
your cousin? It's late.
And she goes, it's 24 hours. And she's like,
you are not leaving. That ain't no cousin. You're staying here, and you're gonna eat some potato soup. Fix your life.
So then I have to say, I love that Chef Gully's like, I hired a private chef. And she's like, here's what we're gonna have. Potato soup, lasagna, and dessert. I was like, who needed you for that? She could have gotten a
Vitamix.
Yeah, it's called a Vitamix. At a fucking Costco.
Yeah.
Gully.
Gully. So now conversation turns to the girls' trip. And, you know, like, will Kim be coming? And I think it was Marlo who stands up as, like, listen, from me to you, like, would you please, like, come to, you know, I think she says something like, as an African-American woman or something, like, will you just please, like, come
she's
on
like,
this girl's
you can
trip.
Come we'll on have the back. African-American girl's trip and not bring your bodyguard. Okay, I got your back.
We got your back. And Kim's like, well, I can't. I need to have Croy. You know, it's like, I had a stroke coming back from L.A. when I was on Dancing with the Stars, and that was only a 4-hour flight. So this would be a 10-hour one. So I need Croy because, like, you know, he has, like, you know, he can recognize the symptoms if I'm having a stroke and, like, he knows things or whatever. I'm like, listen, like, first of all, if you're going to have a stroke, it's not because of the flying. It's because of a lot of the life choices that you've made, okay?
No kidding. Maybe it's because you're injecting the bubonic plague into your face or whatever the hell they make Botox out of.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Kim's like, he'll just make me feel better, and he just knows everything. I need to fly with him. I'm like, so basically Croy is your emotional support dog. That's what you're telling us. He has a little vest. He's going to have a little vest that says ESA on it.
Yes, and that's why I like Croy. I don't mind. I like the idea of having Croy just sitting outside my car. I'm like Sheree, where Sheree's like, look, I'm a lady who likes to be taken care of, so if you want to sit outside in a parking lot, wait for me. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know he will too. She'll be like, Croy, you're on the wrong side of the street. I'll be like, no, honey, this is the right side of the street because we're in a different country. Oh my God, thank God for you. I could have had a stroke. I would have been hit by a car and had a stroke. Thank God for you. She'd be just like, okay, drive us.
Yeah.
Drive us.
So, I mean, at this point, they're just like, fine, just bring Croy. It's fine. It'll be fine because they know that right now their cast trip is kind of in trouble. Kenya's not going. Now, if Kim doesn't go, like, what is there going to be left?
Also, maybe it'll stop Cynthia from just saying bucket list over and over. Because she's like, but bucket list, child. Bucket list, child. Barcelona bucket list, child. And then Marlo, when she starts dinging on the glass, she's like, no, ding, ding. Bitch, you got real China. Ding, ding. This is China, look. And she keeps calling Croy Core. Did you notice that? She's like, no, Core. I don't want Core.
So now it's like, okay, so Kim's going to come with Croy. So Nini's at home, and she's going through a closet. This is where Greg spills wine. He's opening up a wine bottle, and he spills the wine all over his shirt and wipes it down with a pillow, which was actually, like, so cute and exactly what my dad would do.
Greg's like, what's happening? Spill. Nini's like, get out, okay? Yeah. Just get out. So let's see. We see Candy putting Ace into a suitcase, and Porsche's taking selfies in the back of the car, which I imagine is like every shot of Porsche in a car ever.
Exactly. And so now Cynthia and Nini are in an SUV. Cynthia sort of looks like the Joker. She has all sorts of like weird puffballs and colors going on. And guess what? Not so shocking news. Kim has decided not to come on the trip after all.
Yes, because Nini is giving her shit about bringing Croy. And she's like, well, maybe she's getting a new pair of booty implants for her husband installed in his ass. Like, okay, yeah. I'm glad you keep bringing that one back.
Yeah, exactly.
So then Sheree and Porsche are in the other car, and they're just basically gossiping. And Porsche's like, did you hear about Kim? Is it because of her husband? Is his name Cor? And she's like, no, it's Cor. Don't listen to Marlo. Let's call her. So they call her, and Kim's like, hey, girls. She's like talking on her silo cup. It's like her cell phone, too. She's like,
sure. It's actually a red Solo cup with a string at the end of it that goes to like a cell phone somehow.
Yeah, I don't know why I keep calling it a Silo cup. It's a Solo cup, duh.
Yeah, I don't know why. She's
like, hello.
Hello. No, well, Nini was super vocal about Croy not coming, and I had a stroke once. And airplanes confuse me anyway. Like, how do they work, really? Let's really think about that. So I'm not going to go.
So then Candy calls Nini and Cynthia, and Nini's like, I just got news. Kenya is not going to be on the trip, and Kim is getting ass plants fixed on her man in his ass, which were installed in his ass.
And Candy's like, see? No, Riley. Like, what do you mean Kenya's not going on the trip, whatever.
Candy is so funny. She goes, what you mean?
What do you mean? Kenya's not going. So basically the trip is falling apart for the producers. That's the long and short of it. And it's like, it's just weirdness. I think it's a weird season of like people not showing up to things and not filming and not being in the same room and being on some episodes, not on others. And like Kim, like why is Kim so central to this? Cause she's a friend of this season. It's all sort of weird.
Yeah.
And, I'll be interested to see if this trip actually turns into something worthwhile. I think just bring back Claudia Jordan already. Can we just bring her back?
Well, they can't. I think that's why they've got so many extras, because the mains are getting paid so much money. They can't bring Shamia on yet because they can't afford, like, it's literally budget. It's almost like they've got this whole audition room waiting to see who's going to be next, you know? And until then, it's like a season-long audition or some shit.
Yeah, it's like, it's a little bonkers.
That brings us to the end. So everybody, thanks so much for listening. We will be back tomorrow with some Vanderpump Rules. Don't forget to get your show tickets over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Bye. Yeah.
Bye, everyone. See you tomorrow.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Hi, it's Eva here, the producer of The Guardian's new podcast, The Start. Many thanks to the team at Bose for choosing our new show. We can't wait for you to hear it. To give you a little taste, we've made a trailer for your listening pleasure. Once again, a huge thank you to Bose for sponsoring this podcast, as well as many other new and upcoming podcasts. Us podcasters really appreciate it.
Welcome to The Start, a brand new weekly podcast from The Guardian.
Without those kind of engaging with reality, I will not become I will be today.
Each episode reveals a story of artistic beginnings, as told by some of the great artists of our time.
For me, Scandalicious, so much of that was also about me finding my way.
Focusing on one piece, they share how these early moments of creativity shaped them, the influence it had on their subsequent work, and what the piece now means to them in retrospect.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favorite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts and even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose. Get closer.
I'm Ian Dell from Chemion Technology. We export all over the world. We got a big inquiry in from Italy for our insect repellent. Knowing absolutely nothing, speaking hardly a word of the language, the Department for International Trade have helped us out directly with finance and support with market knowledge and market studies. Jumping on a plane to see that Italian customer was probably the best business decision we ever made. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is Great.